Such love is the name I've given this sermon. I just want to read a scripture to you before we get into this. This is Isaiah 53, 3-6. It's from the NIV. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This was written somewhere around 700 years before Christ was born. And when we read things like this in the Old Testament, isn't it amazing how God can give a prophet that far in advance these wonderful verses that tell of who Jesus was and what he was going to do, what was going to happen to him? And it always amazes me. 700 years approximately before Christ was born, they read about this. Now, if we read something these days, now, today, of something like that, you wouldn't think that that was going to come true. You wouldn't think that it was possible. In 700 years' time, this was going to happen. It just blows our mind, doesn't it? And anyone who doesn't believe, and many of us was, maybe some of us have never known any different. We've always been a Christian right from almost birth. We've been brought up in a Christian family. I wasn't. So to me, it really amazes me how this happened. But there are people who don't believe. Millions of them out there, like once I didn't, and maybe once you didn't. How can you not believe when you read something like that? If someone was to read something like that and say, look, this was written 700 years before Christ was even born, how would they have known? There's got to be something in this. There's got to be some truth. This isn't just pie in the sky, as it were. It's like I say to people sometimes, you know, you witness to someone and you say, you know, you do that from the basics of the heavens and the earth, that we believe that Jesus created the heavens and the earth. And they say, oh yeah, but that's, you know, that just happened. So if you say to someone, yeah, but how did the sun get there, where we see the sun up there, and the moon is over there, and the earth is here, how could that have just been pie in the sky, just accidental? Because if the sun was a tiny little bit closer to us, we would all be toast. If the sun was a little bit further away from us, we would all be frostbitten, dead, deceased. It's just amazing. It's all in exactly the right place. And also, if the moon wasn't there, we wouldn't have tides and things like that. So Isaiah described Jesus all that time before. And that, to me, is just amazing. Where we are today, Sunday morning, Easter morning. Last week was Palm Sunday. And we know that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And what did the people do? Did they cuss him and curse him? No. They praised him. They clapped. They threw reeds on the ground, the palms. And he rode across them. They were joyous. How people change. You know, just like that. One minute it's praising him, and the next minute you heard, well, crucify him, crucify. People are horrible, aren't they? And it's normally crowds that do that. One person, we see it on the telly, don't we? Riots. It's normally one or two people that start. And human beings, we're like sheep. We follow. And I bet you in those crowds, I don't know, it doesn't tell us in the Bible all these things. It doesn't tell us a lot of things in the Bible. But we have to sort of get into the story and try and imagine what was actually going on in our own minds. One day we'll find out the absolute 100% truth when we meet with Jesus. Maybe we've all got lots of questions for him. But those people were praising him, glorifying him, lifting him up. They shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, the Bible tells me, which means, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. And then we have Last Thursday, Maundy Thursday, we was up at Rayleigh for Maundy Thursday service. We remember what happened on the Maundy Thursday service. We remember the communion that Jesus served. But what did he do before he served them? He washed their feet. I did this once in church and everyone was horrified. I said to our senior pastor, I want to wash everybody's feet on the communion service. And he said, what? I said, I want to wash their feet. The Bible says I was quite a new Christian. I was new in ministry. And he said, go for it. So I asked people to take their shoes off. Some did, some didn't. Maybe they had smelly socks. I don't know. But I washed loads of people's feet. The reason I did this, I wanted the youth to see what servanthood was all about. Would you be willing to wash people's feet? You say yes, but when it actually comes to doing it, it's not that easy. But Jesus washed their feet. Then he served them. And we're not taking communion today because it's a family service. But he washed their feet. And we know what happened. He took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body given for you. They must have thought, what? He knew what was about to happen. Then drank the wine, the new covenant. He knew what was coming. But his disciples didn't really know what was going on. Then we had Good Friday just a couple of days ago. And what happens on Good Friday? Why on earth do they call it good? Crucify. Crucify him, crucify him. Jesus was crucified on the cross. But there were some other men there with him. I know there's a lot more that goes on here, but I'm just trying to scoot over it. I want to just fix our minds on the other two men that was with him. Two men that were crooks. Now those two men that was with him, either side of him, the Bible tells us, they deserved to be there. Because I don't know what they was arrested and hung up for, but obviously it was something bad. But one of them turned to Jesus and he said, remember me when you're in paradise. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. I believe that man got saved. You know, we say nowadays all the things we've got to do to get saved. But it's not in the Bible, is it? None of this is in the Bible. We just, men have made things up. But we know all that we've got to do is believe in our hearts and turn to God, turn to Jesus, ask for forgiveness. And basically, that's what that man was doing, wasn't it? Asking for forgiveness. I don't know what the other man must have been saying or thinking. But all we know is Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Wonderful. And this morning, we are here to remember he has risen. We know that he died and 3 days later the tomb was empty. When they went there, what a shock. It was empty. I wonder, put ourselves in that place at that time, each one of us here today, how would we have felt if we would have been there? If it was possible to go in like some time tunnel or something and zoom back to just over 2,000 years ago on that day that they went to that tomb and the stone was already rolled back and the tomb was empty, how would we have felt? I wonder. We know the story. We're on the good side of it really, aren't we? Because we know what happened and we know why and everything else. But I wonder what we would have felt. They had been with Jesus. Let's say, I'm going to say you. Put yourself in their place. You have been with Jesus for 3 years. And you have been the centre of the biggest story in the world. The biggest story that broke out in the world. You was part of it. You heard Jesus preach and saw the miracles that he did. You watched him being taken away and you heard the accusations thrown at him. How would you have felt? I wonder if you had stepped out and said, oi, leave him alone. bet you wouldn't. Probably I wouldn't have either. Because we know what would have happened if you had stepped out. One of the Roman soldiers would have probably slashed you down with a sword or something. Or whipped you. Or even worse, put you with Jesus and hung you on a cross. Scary stuff, isn't it? You witnessed his crucifixion. And you witnessed the resurrection. Because the tomb was empty. I wonder how you would have felt if you had been there. Now Jesus was gone. The disciples were on their own. Just a few of them. Do you think you would have felt in your mind, or thought in your mind, now what? All he told us. Everything he told us. Everything he told us. Now what? What was going to happen next? How are we going to carry on? They didn't know what to do, and you wouldn't have done either, nor would I. We know that they just went back to their daily routines. They went to church, they praised and worshipped Jesus. They must have really been, what do we do? Now what? Jesus is gone. They gathered together on the day of Pentecost, and you know what's coming next. And the church was born. Jesus said, wait, didn't he? I don't know exact time Bible tells us, but it's say we don't know the exact times, how many, you know, how long it exactly was. We've got, for instance, you know, an approximate time. The disciples were all in one place. There were 100 people in that upper room. And that waiting time was over. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was, did they? Imagine if this was that room, the upper room, just over 2,000 years ago, and we'd been worshipping this morning. Imagine if we didn't know what the Holy Spirit was, and suddenly we got filled and we started dancing around and running out onto the streets, out there, running around the camp, the estate over there, running around the block, round South Church Road, dancing and screaming and shouting. What do you think people would think? They're crazy! That's exactly what happened then, wasn't it? They're mad! They're drunk! These people are bonkers! Years ago, churches like this used to be called, or the people that are in them, not the churches, the strange people, was it? Is that right? Do you remember that? The Pentecostals used to be called strange. Yeah. Happy clappies, strange people, yeah. Well, the church was born. The disciples couldn't have had an idea of what was about to happen when that happened, the Holy Spirit come upon them. From a handful of people, men and women, to the global church that we have today. From a handful of scared men and women who didn't know what they were going to do, to the global church we have today. It's a sad story, but it's also a great, joyous story, isn't it? So what is it all about? The big question is, why? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Well, there was a problem. And guess what the problem was? Me. You. We were the problem. How was this problem going to be fixed? The bad things that we've done needed to be fixed. Someone had to pay the ransom, the price, for me and you. And you see, it all started a long, long while ago, right back in the beginning. And the problem with sin is one sin leads to another, and to another, and to another, and to another, and you can keep saying that. And that's the problem. The problem with sin, it carries consequences. And what are the consequences of sin? Who knows?
Death.
Yes, the Bible says that the consequences of sin is death. And someone had to pay the price. You see, the place that we're all heading for is heaven. And if you're dirty with sin, you can't get into heaven. Because there's no sin in heaven. And Father God wanted us all to be in heaven with him. So the problem had to be dealt with. That's why Jesus came, to pay the price for us, once and for all. That is why he had to die, so that we can live. I'm going to finish up with three little scriptures here. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in John 14:6, it says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in John 11:25, Jesus also said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." That is why Jesus came. And that is what we're celebrating today. Yes, he died. And as I said earlier on, the enemy, the devil, must have been putting his hands together. Yes, that's got rid of that pest. Now I can have my way. But who had the victory? Jesus had the victory. Death could not hold him down. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is alive. The devil shot himself in the foot. He was wrong. And Jesus is alive today at the right hand side of the Father. And what is he doing? Interceding for all of us on our behalf. And through him, every person on this world that he created can go to heaven if they just come before him and say, "Sorry, forgive me." We've all done that. I presume we've all done that. One day we'll be with him. We'll be praising him with the millions in heaven. Who's looking forward to that day? Yes. Amen. But we've got things to do while we're here. Like I said to the kids, Jesus asked us to do something, didn't he? To go and tell others. We are the shining lights here on earth until we're taken into heaven. Like he said, it's a paradise to be with Jesus. Amen.